If you think the QB1 job is locked up, Deuce Knight might like to have a word with you.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after a happy Tuesday. Talk as we approach closer to spring. I know the common thought is Jackson Arnold, QB1, no doubt that's going to be the guy moving forward. But Deuce Knight is coming in this thing with the mindset that he's got a shot. He's not coming in the mindset as a regular freshman. The big question is, what happens if he actually wins it? What are the ramifications of that? We'll talk about the impact it'll have on Auburn's 2025 season, recruiting, the risk, rewards, everything that goes along with if Deuce Knight pulls this thing off and wins the QB1 spot going into 2025. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. Use coupon code TheBarn25 at the website, UncleKeith'sRedSauce.com, to save 25%. Not only do you save 25%, but you also get more jars at a time. So you save on the jar price, then you take 25% off that, save big. It's a no-brainer. If you want to try it in your local grocery store first, I totally get it. They're in every Publix across the state of Alabama. All the Piggly Wigglies in Birmingham, just about anywhere you can find it and give it a shot. It's a local Auburn family. It's locally shipped, locally made. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. Restaurant style quality salsa with a little bit of a Southern kick. Love it. Check it out in store, or you can get it online. Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. It's good, y'all. So I've been talking to a lot of folks connected to the program and been talking to a lot of folks about quarterbacks in particular, because obviously that's going to be the biggest storyline going into the season. It's going to be the biggest storyline of the season. Can the quarterback room be turned around? Can Auburn kind of get to a championship level? Can Auburn get championship level quarterback play? Can Hugh rekindle some of the successes he had back, you know, at Ole Miss, at Liberty, with quarterbacks that could, you know, were fearless and gunslingers and can make it happen? And basically what I'm getting is that typically when freshmen come in, they're looking to be led. Hey, I'm new here. So teach me, tell me what I got to do. And Deuce is coming in with a little bit of a different mindset. Deuce is coming in, from what I understand, with a mindset of, I'm here to play. I'm here to lead. I'm not here to be led. Excuse me. I'm not here to be led. Really taking a lot of the workouts by the horns, really taking a lot of the private throwing sessions by the horns, really just coming in already with the mindset that he's not a first-year player. He doesn't have the aura of a first-year player. He doesn't have the, you know, he doesn't have the temper. He doesn't resemble a freshman coming in, a freshman mindset as he's coming in. And we already know he's got the tools. You know, he's got the size. He's got the speed. He's already in the weight room. He's already put on like 13 to 15 pounds. That was one thing that had to be done if he wanted to be able to compete at the next level. So he's already coming in and taking workouts serious. That's another thing. Forget practice. Okay. Forget practice, forget throwing, forget any of that. You got to understand how big of a difference it is to come in from Loosedale, Mississippi weightlifting program, and then come into a college program that's essentially like a military style workout program, and come in and not only do that, but gain weight. It's a lot harder because you're coming in, you're probably burning way more calories than you were prior. So you gotta focus on refueling often. I've been through that athletic facility. It's awesome. They have like little spots where you can go and pick up like protein shakes and stuff that's dedicated specifically for you and like your health plan and like your weight plan. So like the tools are there. You just have to be focused and want to take advantage of them. And Deuce is like I said, you got the tools physically. You just had to come in, get a little bit more, gain a little bit more weight, and kind of get that mindset going that, hey, I'm not here to just survive. I'm here to thrive, you know, and from all accounts, that seems to be what he's doing. Like we said, elite talent, elite arm strength. He's got all of those tools. There were just a few things he's going to have to polish up before he's ready to compete in the SEC. But, you know, as far as a scheme fit goes as well, we talked about the athleticism. Scheme fit, I don't know that there could be a better quarterback. Jackson Arnold's a really good one. Jackson Arnold's a really good fit. But just imagine Jackson Arnold, you know, 3 or 4 inches taller, a couple steps faster, and maybe a little bit of a stronger arm. I mean, that's what you get. That's what you get in Deuce Knight, albeit, you know, a couple of years behind. I love the mobility aspect of it, the big play potential, the ability to, hey, when things break down, I can not only just pick up 7 or 8 yards, I can go 80. I can go 80 to the house. We saw it in the sprint in his Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game against elite talent. Hey, turn your head one time and I'll take a quick little sidestep and I'll go to the house. Like he is all full electricity. A true freshman winning the job would be a big, big deal. It would be a big media frenzy, you know, as well. I think that would get a lot of media attention. I think it'd get a lot of other recruit attention. We've already shown, we've shown at other spots. We've shown at other spots. We're not afraid to start, we're not afraid to start freshmen in very important roles. Now you can throw quarterback out there too. All the receivers that he was tight with in the class ahead of him, all the receivers he was tight in the class with him would be excited. I would imagine receivers in the class behind him would be excited because more than likely that would be the guy you would play with. You got, if he were to win the job, you'd get 3 years of minimum of a quarterback. It's kind of like when you go to the NFL, they really hope that rookie pops because you get that rookie contract for a couple of years and you can kind of build around him. And maybe it's probably not the same from a contract standpoint in college football, but it's the idea that you have that stability. You have that guy that can hang in there for multiple years. I think it would be he's coming in with the mindset of, hey, I'm gonna attack this thing like I'm gonna win, like I got a chance to win. And if he does, there's a ton of positives there. There's also a ton of negatives on a freshman, you know, taking over. Yes, there's some success stories, but the SEC is brutal. It just is. College football is brutal in general. And you typically, I would imagine, if you went down the line, you probably see more horror stories than you do success stories. It's not always the smoothest transition. And then facing, you know, these defensive coordinators in the SEC that just, I mean, imagine Kirby Smart, you know, what he's thinking when he sees a freshman quarterback going out there. You know, imagine, you know, all these guys that make a living, you know, terrorizing quarterbacks in the SEC. Imagine, you know, any of those guys seeing a freshman back there. Now, it has sort of like a double-edged sword. There's not a lot of film on them, especially early on. So there's somewhat of an unknown. But then also, hey, it's a young guy. We can get after him and maybe we can rattle him. It's just tough. I mean, it really is. You got to worry about some of the team chemistry. You know, again, there's not a ton of older guys. I think they'd probably be more happy than would be unhappy. But hey, you got a freshman in a quarterback room with a guy that's got 2 years left and a guy that's got 1 year left. I mean, if the freshman gets the nod over those guys, you got to worry about, you know, the chemistry in that room a little bit. I think those other guys are professionals, so they would see, you know, they would understand, but, you know, it would be, you know, it could be a little bit of an issue. A guy like Xavier Chaplin, think about a guy at left tackle like Xavier Chaplin. Man, I got 1 year left. You know, I got 1 year left, and you want me to, and I'm a left tackle, and this is a left-handed quarterback. You know, I'm supposed to, this is my franchise year. Like, what kind of, you know, what kind of signal does that send? I mean, there could be some risks there. Just it's something that's always got to be in the back of your mind, and the coaches will have to navigate that. Would it raise some portal quarterback evaluation concerns? This would be two guys now that you've brought in to be the guy that would have gotten beat, that would have either A, not had the success that you had hoped, or B, just not won the job. Again, this is an extreme hypothetical. I would still say Jackson Arnold has a huge leg up, but Deuce Knight is coming in a lot more ready than everyone predicted or everyone imagined. But yeah, would it make you start thinking, you know, having to, man, this another one. That's another one that we brought in that you expected to be the big guy, and it's not. You'd have to definitely have to look in the mirror there a little bit, I think. Recruiting ramifications. Look, there's some good and some bad here. Good is, you know, obviously I talked about it earlier, willing to play elite freshmen, making the guys right behind you, the class right behind you, a lot more excited to play because they know who their quarterback is going to be, and they know who their quarterback's going to be for a couple of years. It's not like I'm coming in 1 year guy and he's gone. No, the Deuce would be here for a while. Where I could see there's some issues is if you have some upheaval in the quarterback room, if he were to win after the season, it'd be pretty tough to bring in, I would imagine, a portal quarterback that would be willing to sit. You know, bring in a guy that would be willing to sit behind Deuce. It would also probably make, I would say, 2016 recruiting. I think you got your guy. I think we're going to have our quarterback here pretty soon. 2026 recruiting, we're going to have our guy here pretty soon. But it may make 2027 quarterback recruiting just, I don't know, maybe a little bit tougher. I mean, they'd have to come in knowing they'd have to sit at least 1 year, maybe two. You just always have, when you have a young quarterback, you always have to, especially a freshman quarterback, you always got to worry about how you're going to fill out that room, because nobody's going to want to just sit by. Ashton Daniels is going to be gone. What are the odds you're going to find an Ashton Daniels again, a talented kid who's okay with not playing? You know, I'm just going to come here, compete, spend my last season closer to home, and see what happens. I mean, what are the odds you're going to find another one of those? Probably pretty slim. So it just makes that quarterback room a little bit more tough to manage, but that's not something, I mean, you don't make a decision based off that. You got to play the best guy. History tells us, look, there are some success stories. There's no doubt. You got DJ Lagway last year, who every single time he got a chance to play, he played really, really well. And the hype around a true freshman guy, a hype around a kid of that caliber being good, is something special. I mean, you can look at how, you know, Florida seemed to be sort of on the ropes a little bit, but they're able to reel in the recruits. They're able to reel in some portal folks, and they're kind of already off to a good start in recruiting this year. They're making a lot of headway. You just kind of have all that hype you can build around a kid like that. Trevor Lawrence, you know, at Clemson, as soon as he was input into the lineup, you know, remember that whole saga with Kelly Bryant. As soon as he was input, I mean, heck, they went and won the national championship. And then obviously we know what he did from there on. He was a complete baller. Jalen Hurts at Alabama, I mean, SEC Freshman of the Year. Ton of guys that are big name quarterbacks that played early. That I don't want to say a ton. There's a lot of guys now, as kids get older and times change, they come in a little bit more game ready. There's a lot of success stories. there's also a lot of struggles. There's also some folks, some kids that struggled. I mean, you don't really have to go much further than Bo Nix. Bo Nix was, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in his class. At times showed flashes of greatness in 2019, and at times he looked like a freshman. I mean, it's just it's what you would expect. And you felt like that 2019 team left a lot on the bone just because you couldn't get 100%, you know, you couldn't get real consistent quarterback play for whatever reason. I'm sure some of it was the fact that Bo was a freshman. Some of the fact was just Gus Malzahn and quarterbacks in general. But that's something that's pretty standard for a freshman quarterback. You're probably going to see some great stuff, and then you're going to see some frustrating stuff. Quinn Ewers at Texas, not necessarily a real true freshman issue, but there was his first year. He was not the guy you saw this past year. He struggled. He was up and down. He had some big games. He had some bad games. He was one of the top quarterbacks in the country. I mean, it just depends on – a lot of it depends on Deuce. Like, what does he – early on, it seems like he's on the right pathway to be one of the success stories. What path does he choose? We'll have to see. Can he keep up this intensity in workouts? Can he keep up this pace? It's a lot, man. So that's a big transition. So what's Auburn's best move? If Deuce wins the job, should Auburn roll with him, or do they go with the experience early? What are your thoughts there? If it's close, or if Deuce is just like maybe a step ahead, what do you do? What do you do if you're Hugh? What do you do if you're Auburn? Would love to hear your thoughts. The stakes for Hugh Freeze are very high this year. I don't want to say a do or die year, but this is a year where if you can't put it on the field, the momentum you've built in this, you know, this roster building, the momentum you've built as you started to continue to build this roster and bring in this talent and the vision that you've sold, it's going to make that way tougher. Way tougher. I mean, year three in the old days, before the portal, is when you started to say, year three, you should start to see more about what this team should look like, okay? And this is year three with the portal, and maybe you're a little bit behind of you know, where you should be. Again, the stakes are really high. So do you gamble? Do you gamble all that on a freshman? I'm wondering if it may buy you some time, buy you even more time. I don't know. I don't want to go there yet. But fan expectations. What are fan expectations going to be when Deuce rolls out there? Are we going to be reasonable? Are they going to be tough on him? It's going to be interesting to see. I know we'll be excited. I know most of the fans are going to be extremely excited. But if Deuce rolls out there and they lose to Baylor, like, what happens? There's a lot to think about. There's a lot that goes into this, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this thing plays out through spring. He's got, hey, from what I understand, I'm hoping it's not true, but the Tanner Bailey thing may not be working out. So it's going to be Deuce and Jackson, 1-2 all spring. So he's going to have the most possibly fast-tracked way to win the job as you possibly can have as a true freshman coming into a big-time SEC program. It's going to be 1-2 in spring, and then we'll see what happens. I doubt they anoint anyone the starter. I doubt they anoint anyone the starter after spring. But it's going to be fun to watch. I'd love to know your thoughts. What are your thoughts on, should you, if it's close, should you go with Deuce Knight? Should you go with Jackson Arnold? Let me know what you think in the comments. I typically respond to every single one. Regardless, it seems like Auburn's got a pretty nice little quarterback battle on their hands. And then you get to throw Ashton Daniels in the mix in spring. You feel much, much better about the quarterback room going into 2025 than you did last season. for sure. So guys, I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. Don't forget to subscribe to thebarnauburn.com. Take 25% off your annual membership. We dropped a ton of recruiting nuggets last night. Auburn about to make some moves in the state of Georgia. I think it's going to be fun to watch materialize. So if you want to know what that is, definitely log in and have some fun. Jump in the conversation, jump in the community. It's a blast. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.